ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
ABC Sport. Grandstand Cricket.
There you go.
That's it for the day.
You can hear the bells.
And that is Stumps.
This is Grandstand at Stumps.
On ABC Radio.
ABC Sport Digital Radio. And the ABC Listen app.
With zero hyperbole, we have never seen anything like it. A two-day test match in which the side that was bowled out for 132 and fell 40 behind on the first innings wins handsomely inside 2 days by 8 wickets. Welcome to Grandstand at Stumps. Corbin Middlemass on the boundary's edge alongside Jason Gillespie and Darren Lehman. All the wash-up. We're moments away. We are only a few metres away, from the victorious Australian team. And they lead the Ashes series 1-0. That looked very improbable at the lunch break, with England 1 for essentially 100 ahead in the test, and they lost 9 wickets in the second session, and they lost the test by the end of the day. There's a whole lot to chop up, but first of all, just the first impressions from Darren Lehman and Jason Gillespie. How do you make sense of it, Buff?
One of the best hundreds you'll ever see in test match cricket. Ashes cricket, world cricket, any cricket. I mean, this guy keeps doing it in big stages, big moments. Doesn't look the prettiest or stylish, but when he's got power, ability, belief, takes the game on, can really take the best bowlers in the world on. We've seen Boomer in a World Cup final, World Test Championship. Big moments, big games, and that's what he delivers. It wasn't hitting as good as he wanted to pre-test match. Comes into this and goes, whack, look at that. And first it is a bit scratchy. After that, that was just amazing hitting. I've not seen anything like it.
So in a low-scoring test where only two guys had made over 40 of the 31 wickets to a fall, Travis Head peels off a 69-ball ton. Just a game-changing innings from the South Australian.
Oh, it was absolutely extraordinary. I'm not sure what other words can describe what we saw. That was absolutely brilliant. Australia, they were out of this game for all money, as you mentioned. At lunch, 99 runs behind. England were 99 runs ahead with 9 wickets in hand, would you believe? And now we're standing here at the end of day two, and Australia's won by 8 wickets. Extraordinary scenes.
It is unbelievable. I mean, they got it right after lunch. The bowling of Boland was excellent. You know, Stark did his job, he was 10 for the game. We're talking about exceptional performances to get them back into the game. 1 for 100. Then they decided, let's make them drive through the offside, through covers. No, as a batter here in Perth. They did it. They fell for it. They went for it. They don't leave enough balls, probably. They've got all the strokes, England. They can come, and if they get it right, they're going to peel off 450, 500 a day in Australia at some stage. But if they're disciplined enough, I mean, the Australian team, like they were post-lunch, they bowled very, very well. They said, right, let's take it a foot wider, let's get the length right, and let's make them drive on the up, and they fell for it.
The last time we had a two-day test was the Green Monster at the Gabba back in December of 2022 against South Africa. A very different set of circumstances here, but essentially England all out 172, Australia all out 132, and then England batting for a second time all out 164 after being 1 for 65, losing their last 9 wickets for 99, and then on the back of a Travis Head 100, the third fastest in Australian test history of 69 balls, the Aussies win by 8 wickets. The man of the moment is Travis Head. He's got a couple of fellow South Australians and fellow Test cricketers with us here on ABC Sport. And his good mate, Darren Lehman.
Good boy.
Gives him a big hug, as does Jason Gillespie. You're live on ABC Sport, Trav. Congratulations. An innings we won't soon forget. A well-deserved drink of water before we get into it. It was a counter-attacking 100 that changed the Test match. Just very simply, in the best words you can, how did you do it?
Who knows? Nice start. So he couldn't wait to start his 7 for 50, could we? So, yeah, didn't think we'd get to day 2 and we'd have a win. So there'll be 51,000 filthy fans tomorrow. But unfortunately, we'll have to wait till Brisbane now.
Mate, what an innings. I loved it. I love watching you bat. Yeah, first innings was a bit tough. They bowled quite well.
Yeah.
Was the game plan for you just to go and play your way and take them on?
Yeah, no game plan. I was actually a proper opener for the first few overs.
Just, you were? Was that to help Jakey a little bit as well?
Oh, I was never letting him face the first one.
good boy.
I felt like there's been a moment where I could open the batting potentially at some stage. I thought we had a couple of options to go with, and luckily Ron and gave in and let me do it. But I was pretty keen to go out there. I felt like the way they play, the way they bowl to me as well. I knew the short pitch stuff was coming. Knew the short stuff was coming at some stage. I thought if I could get out there, get going, get to a start, I'd make it easier for the guys behind me, and it worked perfectly, didn't it?
We had your state coach, Ryan Harris, on Grandstand last weekend, and we spoke about you and your form leading in. And Ryan said, look, he's aware of the fact that he's only got this one score over 40 in his last 20 hits. What did you do in the lead-up to be ready to go to be able to produce that kind of knock, despite the fact that the runs weren't necessarily there in domestic cricket?
Nothing. A couple of T20. Look, there's a lot of T20 in that. So one Shield game down in Tassie, 51,000 is a lot different than three people in 2 degrees down in Bunston last week. I had 5 weeks off last year leading into the Test Series when Harrison was born. So I was there's no doubt that I was clutching a little bit because you're playing, that you want to get scores, no doubt about that. But I knew in the back of my mind that I'd come off 5 weeks last year and started pretty well. So it's never really fazed me. I love this. Don't get me wrong, it's hard not to get up for this. I trained all 4 days leading into the Test, which I never do, just because I felt like Tassie was tough wicket. I've had a lot in the indoors at Blunston. Subbo threw to me a fair bit. And then I knew coming here, I trained all 4 days. I just wanted to find that rhythm. And I felt I had it in the first innings. Shit, I'm filthy that I hit it to the only bloke on the leg side in the first innings. But and then to get my opportunity to get in against a new ball, I knew that I could hopefully get off to a start and get in my rhythm. And I did that, so please.
Australia's been cycling through a few openers. You've opened before, obviously, in the subcontinent. First time in Australia, perhaps out of necessity with Usman's injury. But is this a sign of things to come? Do you want to be a test opener going forward?
Only opened 2 hours ago, so let's get through that.
Are you best when fresh? Is that what you feel like all the time? Because last year you said you had the 5 weeks off with the birth of your son. Then just go and play?
Well, there's a few times I've come in off break, so it gives you confidence, and then vice versa. I just knew I'm old enough now, I play enough cricket, to know what my prep needs to be. I know when I need to get more. I try to stay on a level playing field. If I'm not getting runs in the middle, step it up at training and try and get a rhythm. If I'm scoring runs, hopefully today, more often than not, then training drops off a little bit. I try and keep a level thing, so I just keep mentally fresh. I think the hardest part about this game is the mental side.
The other side of it, the wicket. It didn't look as bad as the scores showed. I mean, at the end, we won 2 down, 8 wickets in hand.
Yeah.
But was it a pretty good wicket or difficult at times?
Difficult at times when they got it right. I felt it got quicker last night, and there were a few cracks, but they didn't really play much of a role. More as looking down, it's more intimidating looking down at it. I feel like if it were tomorrow afternoon, I reckon it would have started playing some tricks and would have been difficult to bat, and that's why I guess a couple of sleepers tonight. When you lose a toss and you look back last year, batting last on it, and day four, that was extremely tough last year. So I'm thankful that we're about to get the job done before it's got naughty.
Travi, were you a bit surprised that English went to the short ball tactics so quickly?
I was hoping not to go too hard. And when I hit that six over mid-off and Stokesy cracked it and went, all right, that's it, and everyone's going back, I thought I might have got another 20 more runs before. I thought I might have got another 20 or 30 more out of him. Mate, Nick and nudge him around a little bit and keep the field up. And
did you give Benny Duggan any meows?
No. I think the count still, we're counting him. I think we're 3-2 up. I think I'm 3-2 up.
Good boy.
I think he had 3 leaves. He left one today, and I think I've left 2 for the game. So I didn't think I'd be sitting here after the first test. One, obviously after the first day, we're 1-0 up, and I've got one up on Duck at the minute. So he might not leave me in the first, but he kept me account yesterday, today when I left one, so he's a good man.
Yeah, he's a good man. How does the team, I mean, what was the chat at lunchtime when they were 1 for 50, led by 100, and it looked like it was deliberately taken a bit wider to him, make him drive on the up?
I felt like we moved through plans pretty well. I thought, unfortunately, we let them get away a little bit with the short stuff, but that's always going to go one way or the other. First innings, we took 5 for 12 or something silly. And then today, Cast, and I thought Gus played really well against it. So we're going to have moments throughout the series where they either fly or it doesn't. So, we took it a little bit wider. There's no real chat. I think the team's pretty calm. Ronnie and Dan Vittori go about their stuff with the bowlers and Smudge. But I thought we moved in and out of plans really well. We kept it straight. We tried to suck the energy out of it and try to get the momentum back with certain fields, and thought through the first 2 days with how aggressive they can be. We manoeuvred through that really, really well. We did exceptionally well in the first innings when Brookie got going, and I think that was... I probably had my head around 300, though, at lunch break. I thought, if we can keep it under 300, I thought that was chaseable. Anything over 300 was going to be tough work, so we bowled beautifully.
When did you know you were going to open?
When I ran down the race, and we sort of all got in a group and went, what the hell is going on? So we were sort of sending messages back. Matt Kelly's had the biggest day ever as 12th man. He's come over, thought he's going to get the easiest day, and he's charged. Always is going off, and boys are going off everywhere. And we're trying to get info back to go who's opening the batting, and then luckily the tea break came at a perfect time. So beans were probably going a little bit when I ran off knowing that I wanted it. But the tea break came at a good time. I actually looked at the screen and the boys were already out in the middle and I was still sitting there looking at the clock, so I had to rush out here and Weathers was standing waiting for me, so I was best with fresh there.
How were the two debutants, mate? Obviously teammates.
Yeah, I thought they did an exceptional job. I thought Doggy batted away and was able to get that huge breakthrough of Brookie in the first innings. He bowled aggressive. I thought when he pitched it up, he looked dangerous, and I thought Weathers played beautifully today. Look, he would have liked to go on with it, but the way he played fast bowling, the way he was able to put pressure on, the way he was able to leave the ball, I think that's a blueprint for Jake. And if he's going to do that, this job for a long period of time, I think that's a blueprint. He play face an attack like that and get through it and get to, I think, 30, 25 or 30. It's a good starting point for him.
Well played, mate. We're so proud of you.
Thank you.
Everyone in Australia.
Cheers. Thank you.
It's awesome, mate.
Joy to watch you play. Travis had what an innings. An outstanding knock.
You get sunnies as well.
Oh, geez. Thanks for that. Thank you very much. Oh, yeah. I can't afford sunnies these days, so good boy.
They're lovely.
Travis Head, who kindly gifted Darren Lehman a set of sunglasses before the test match started.
Do I have to pay tax on that ABC or what?
I'd have to put it on the free and discounted form. We'll fill one of those out for you.
Thanks very much.
Just to pick up on Travis Head, let's have a listen to how he brought up that 100 this afternoon and one which goes straight into Ashes folklore.
In comes Wood and he bowls and Head with a flourish has flicked the ball away into the leg side, rather like an orchestral conductor there, flicking the ball away with a flourish, and he reaches a really good 50.
Stokes around the wicket, Head throws the hands at it and carves it away through cover. And that is four more for Travis Head, and he is in attack mode. Short ball, Head's all over it, and it's going to be the same result. Pulls it for four. Travis Head bosses Stokes in that over. Took 17 from it. Four boundaries. And now he's one run away. Field still spread. Atkinson to him. He backs away. Pops it up on the offside. And gets through for the single. It's a counter-attacking 100 from the makeshift opener. He salutes the pavilion. A test-turning 100 for Travis Head.
Pass in, heaved away to the leg side of Ben Nels. Could be a catching chance. This could be the end of Travis Head's innings. Getting underneath it and the catch taken in the deep. Well, Ollie Pope keeping his cool. What an innings from Travis Head. 123 runs off 83 balls. Single-handedly propelling Australia towards victory in this first Ashes test.
A special knock from a special player, Travis Head, with a 100 in what was a test-turning 100, as I said in the moment. A phenomenal time. What are you two up and about?
We're just up and about. Trav's got 100. We won. We're 1-0 up. We could have a beer soon. It's just good life, Corbin. That's what it is.
A couple of happy crow eaters here. Jason Gillespie and Darren Lehman as Travis Head plays a match-winning knock for Australia. It wasn't enough to get him man of the match honours. That went the way of the bowler, Dizzy, in Mitch Stark, who picked up a 10-for in the match, 7 in the first innings, career best figures, and then he followed it up with 3 in the second dig. Is that the right outcome?
No, you're asking a bowler if it's the right outcome. Look, I don't think anyone would begrudge Mitchell Stark the Man of the Match award, and I don't think if it was Travis Head, anyone would have had any complaints. So it was a very tough one.
Two good options.
For me, Mitchell Stark. Dare I say that as a batter? because Travis Head just gave me the most amazing entertainment game of my cricketing nuffy career. As a player, coach, or whatever, that was unbelievable. On such a high for him and the Australian cricket team to win that game from being 1-for-100 at lunch and in trouble.
Yeah.
Oh, I think I'm back. 1-for-100, I'm gone again.
I think it might just be your headphones. We can hear. Keep going.
Can you? Okay. Yep. 1-for-100, that's the main thing at lunch. And then all of a sudden, you go, that's real trouble. They get the lines right. The bowlers do their job. And the reason I say Mitchell Stark, because the first innings, we wanted someone had to stand up. We needed a leader of our attack to stand up because we had no Cummins and no Hazlewood.
And we had a debutant seamer.
Yeah,
and a spinner that didn't bowl any. So all of a sudden, I'm going, Mitchell Stark, stand up, do the job, 10-for in the game, outstanding leadership. So as we have the golf analogy, which we've been used to in this test match, haven't we?
Golf's been topical.
Yes, it has. I mean, for me, you know, the batters, they just drive. You know, they set up the game. The bowlers do all the work and they putt for dough. And that's what Mitchell Starc did. He got him in a position to bowl him out with Scotty Boland today. And we chased 200 and Trav, which is unbelievable.
So the question I asked Travis had, and quite rightfully, he said, look, listen, mate, I didn't even know I was opening the last time I ate. And then all of a sudden he peels off a match-winning 100 for the Australians. Is he the long-term answer? The question that Australia have been asking, has the answer been hiding in plain sight? Is Travis Head the next opener?
I just wonder if it has been hiding in plain sight. I mean, Rick Finlay's stats suggest that it's his most effective spot in the order. Admittedly, he's played on the subcontinent. This was his first one in Australia, and gee whiz, what a performance!
It went well.
It went okay, Corby. So look, I think there's every chance that it could happen. The Australian selectors might pivot and go, you know what, let's give this a go.
What do you reckon, Boof?
Oh, I think so. I like the David Warner-esque attack on the fast bowlers, and we saw what happened when it came off. They went to different plans and didn't know what they were doing. So I think we've got to take some initiative there, and that might be the answer. Khawaja, how his back comes up and all that, you know, over the next 10, what do we got now? 13 or 14 days. So it's a lot of time to play out for everyone to be fit. But we've got day-night pink ball test. You know, what's the wicket going to be like? How's it going to play? All those things. But Travis took the bull by the horns and took the game on, and all of a sudden, England played and bowled so much differently. Even with the new ball, to be fair, the first innings, they were up at top of off stump, nipping it either way. Because Trav opened, they went, we're going to have two out on the leg side. We're going to go straight out in the short about chest height. Well, you lose the newness and hardness of the ball because you're bowling short too early.
It's the 22nd of November today. The test starts on Thursday, December 4th. Feels like an eternity away. It's still a fortnight away before that begins. So that will be the next appointment in the Ashes at the Gabba, of course, where we have the pink ball day-night test. That is the next point in the series. If you just flick the radio on and you think, gee, they're doing some kind of a post-play coverage, it feels like there's a whole lot of noise and great atmosphere here at Perth Stadium. Well, that is the case. Australia have won inside 2 days. And to think that at the lunch break, England were one down in their second dig with a lead of 100. They lost their last 9 wickets for 99 runs to be all out by tee. And they lost the test by stumps, with Australia winning by 8 wickets. And Travis Head, as a young Nuffy cricket fan in WA, I used to grow up, Boof, going to the Wacker, and they used to always tell stories about Doug Walters and 100 in a session. Well, Travis Head joins the club with 100 in a session here, and a match-winning one at that.
They'll be talking about that for years. That's history folklore. That's what it was, and that's what we're talking about. Legends of the game are made and how they're made. And as a kid, that's how you get and play the game. You watch that, and boys and girls out there will be going, I want to play cricket. I want to play at Perth Stadium.
I want to play test cricket.
I want to play test cricket, wear the baggy green. Yeah. And boys and girls out there, just watch that for entertainment. That's what it was about. I mean, actually, speaking on a different subject, I just saw Nathan Lyon. He was bending over. He just showed me his mark from where he got hit with the ball. Oh, it's black and blue. It hurts. And I just gave him a bit of a meow call. Because he knows how scared I am of fast bowling.
I bet he was padded up late in the piece.
Yeah, well, that was obviously if Trav got out and they needed 50 or 60, I reckon.
Yeah.
And that's fair enough, because that would have gone into tomorrow. Once Trav got down to, 25 it would have been, they would have said, you know what, let's finish it tonight and make sure we win.
Yep. Spot on.
We don't know the latest with Usman Khawaja. He was moving pretty proppy, it must be said. The reports yesterday, obviously, was initially that he was off the ground due to toilet breaks and stretching, and then it later emerged he actually had back spasms. He did bat at number 4 but wasn't eligible to open in his usual spot. Today he was fielding at first slip, and Jamie Smith had a late cut which ballooned over the court, and Khawaja jumped in the air trying to reel it in. And then not long after that, he walked off the ground looking a little proppy, and ultimately that ended his test match. We didn't see him thereafter. Marnus Labuschagne, we are live on air on the ABC, who joins us at the completion of the test. An extraordinary one at that. Have you ever seen anything like that, Marnus, in all the cricket you've watched and played?
No. No, I haven't. I mean, there was a lot of similarities between, you know, my partnership there with Travis in the World Cup final. It just felt the same. I had that same feeling. He was going, and just everything was just hitting the gap or sailing, and he was just hitting them so clean. And, you know, I was just playing a part. Like, you know, he dragged me with him.
Well, I'm not sure anyone's going to remember your innings.
Yeah.
I certainly am.
I loved it.
The fact that you would just keep him a little bit calm where you possibly could, keep him watching the ball, but just give him the strike. They went short, and then you actually took it on as well. Yeah. You're obviously in great form from the Shield leading into this game, and you feel really good about your game?
Yeah, that's exactly it. I've changed a few things with my preparation and my technique a little bit. That was probably not as much of a technique innings with the way they bowled, but I think that's exactly it. That's what I think when I'm out there. I just go, well, if he's going, I'll just keep him hot and try and get off strike and be busy. And then, you know, as you get a feel for the game, I think Archer was running in there and I sort of say, okay, I'm done watching now. It's time to start playing. I'm done watching now. So, you know, that's sort of when I started to back away and take those options.
Great options. We've been talking about the wicket. It didn't look as bad as last year, but did it do a bit more than we think?
It's hard because, like, last year this was probably the best day, and then day three for batting. You know, India put on, I can't remember, they put on heaps.
Yeah, they
put on heaps. I felt like day one felt like it had a bit in it, and when they bowled, the wicket probably just quickened up a fraction, and the length they bowled didn't really give us much to score off, you know, especially as right-handers with Archer coming into the body, there wasn't much to free us up. Now, obviously, when you've got a 200-run chase, it's a bit of a different, you know, mentality. You're going out there and you're trying to shift the game and keep that momentum. But, certainly today the wicket felt nice.
Did it?
Yeah.
What did our bowlers get right after lunch? What were the discussions in the room as well, like, at that lunch break?
I think from the first innings, I think, and once again, I wasn't privy to discussion, but I'm probably looking like you guys at the results. I think we said the lengths were a little bit full. We got driven down the ground, and with this England batting lineup, they're going to play shots. We don't need to come to them. It's like playing a Southern team at the Gabba. You know, you can just hold your length back a little bit, and they're going to come and play shots, and then you're going to get those edges. And I think Andrew McDonald and Steve came up with some nice fields to get them vertical and to get them defending the ball. I think you saw that field to start with Harry Brook here. And, you know, I mean, I don't know what's going through his mind, but, you know, from the outside, it's like, okay, well, you know, your back away option over the offside's a bit taken away. And now we get him defending. And, you know, the more defensive shots Harry Brook can play in his first 15 to 20 balls, that's a win for us, especially against Scott Boland.
Well, he charges first before the three balls, isn't it, all the time? It's unbelievable. So, and he's got a talented player, but you're right. The actual plans, it looked like we got the plans right, and then we got the balls in the right area post-lunch. I mean, Scotty Boland came in for a bit of tap first innings. They've obviously got a plan to attack him, and the changes you made worked.
Yeah, 100%. I think he just found his length really nicely in the second innings. And then Brendan Doggett, you know, the short ball plan there, you know, don't underestimate how handy those, you know, those wickets and the shifts are. You know, he bowls that really nicely. He's got plenty of poles in state cricket with that. And because he's so skiddy and he rushes onto you, he might not be that fast on the gun, but it's real crafty.
Manus Labuschagne with us on Grandstand at Stumps. The Aussies went inside 2 days by 8 wickets. Take us back to the first innings, Manus. It felt like there was a little bit of chaos when it was your turn to bat. It obviously ended quickly and you soon found yourself opening the batting on your return at test level.
Yeah. We probably didn't have as much time to sort of think through what we wanted to do. It was just like, okay, Uzi's not available yet. Manus, go out. And I was happy. I actually thought it was comical because all the chat this summer, where's Manus batting? Is it three? Is it opening? I was laughing. I was sitting next to Bo Webster. I was like, Bales, told you, mate, I'm an opener. There was a lot of banter. I was like, mate, let's go. You know, it gets you out there. You're not thinking about it. We went to work. It was obviously not the ideal start, you know, but I think Steve and I played a different type of game there, and that absorbed the pressure. We weren't far away. Obviously I got out there off the elbow and then Steve got out, and then it was sort of, you know, snowballed a bit from there. But, a lot of chaos. I mean, there's so much. Yeah. This two different opening partnerships in two innings.
How were the debutants? We asked Trav, they said they were pretty good. How was Jakey Weatherall when you walked out to bat with him? Obviously, he's not there very long, but, yeah, was he calm? And?
He doesn't strike me as someone that's necessarily like a calm
play. He's probably a bit like myself, you know, probably...
What, a nutter?
He's staying there and he's, you know, he's got a nice presence and intent to his batting, and that innings today was beautiful. Like, to watch him take on that pull shot he did. I don't know who was the bowler, but off wood maybe, it was a beautiful shot. So, yeah, to answer your question, he just went out there, he had his processes, and it was the first time I batted with him, so...
And getting back to you, I think, you know, you looked like... Before the test match and coming back into the side, you've been a bit on edge, but you look so much more calmer. Is there a reason for that? Just sheer runs?
Probably runs, runs just give you the confidence to trust your game. And when you don't have runs and, you feel like it's a technical thing and there's a few issues with your game, you just start making stupid mistakes, you know, errors that you're not reading the game well. You're not, like, playing the percentages. And, you know, I feel like whenever I'm playing at my best, regardless of my technique, it's the reading of the game, understanding where they're going to bowl, where can I score, what changes I need to make. And, you know, over these 18 months, I was just in a bit of a spin and, you know, I had to get dropped. I feel to regain my focus and understanding of what was important to actually get runs, not getting too tangled with my technique.
So it has been more mental changes than physical or technical changes?
I think it's both. I think the access I have to the ground now has been better than I ever have, that I've ever played. You know, offside and leg side, you know, cutting and pulling, and I've got a lot more... options. So I don't think I've ever had that. And then, the rest is just mental.
Mate, you looked really calm out there, mate.
Nah,
great. You looked brilliant, mate. Yeah. It was great to watch.
Fantastic.
Just one before we go. Is Uzi okay? How is his back?
He's standing up. I gave him a hug, so...
He was all right.
He's all right.
Hopefully he's back.
Uzi was good. We're just tactical, mate. Andrew McDonald's just tactical genius.
A lot better than past coaches. I'll give you the strong tip.
All's well that ends well. Manus, always appreciate your time. Congratulations. Nice to see you back.
Well done, mate. Congratulations. Enjoy the night.
Cheers, guys.
Enjoy the night, buddy. Well done.
Manus Labuschagne, what a return for him. He played a crucial hand, didn't he, with Travis Head. And in the end, the Australians were able to keep their dominant position, as Rick Finlay told us, that the two best partnerships in the match were the first and second wickets. So how timely is that for Australia? In the fourth innings of the match with 205 to get, first of all, it was Head and Weatherald, and then Manus has picked up where Jake left off.
Well, a bit of Laurel and Hardy, those two, aren't they? Head and Labuschagne, I mean, the way he goes about it. Head, well done, Cole. Well done, Trav. We're going to say well done, Trav,
well
again.
Well done, Trav.
Trav, well done.
Trav, well done, mate.
There are plenty of people that have stuck around, and they're the cries that you can hear as people yell out to Travis Head as he makes his way off with the media manager and Cole Hitchcock.
We're going to give him a thing. He gave us Travis Head.
And Manus Labuschagne.
Wow,
we've done very well out of the Aussies, so congratulations to them. And an 8-wicket victory. They win by 8 poles after... staring down the barrel at lunchtime. The last time they ate, they were probably thinking that this test could be out of hand by stumps, and instead they've won it by stumps.
It's unbelievable.
What a turnaround.
I still can't believe the turnaround from lunch. And then also, let's talk about England for a second, because we've focused on Australia. They were so good getting back into the game. England were exceptional in the first innings with the ball, as good as I've ever seen England bowl in the last 10 to 15 years. Alistair Cook said the same thing, and that was very pleasing. Then they went away from that from ball one. As soon as Travis Head walked out, they changed.
Before I hear from you, Diz, we might just check in with our friends at the BBC, who were pretty happy last night with what they saw. You heard Jim Maxwell's call of the winning moment. Let's see how our friends on the BBC called the winning moment for Australia to get home by 8 wickets in a memorable test match.
Here he comes. He bowls to Australia's captain, Steve Smith, who forces him off the back foot. Lovely shot. The ball just rolled away towards the boundary. Might not quite get there, but they've scored the run they need. And that is a quite remarkable victory by Australia, who started today, just the second day of the match, well behind England, who at lunch led by 100 runs with 9 wickets in hand. Well, those 9 wickets were blown away in the afternoon. And Travis Head has come out and made a mockery of that target of 205 with a brilliant 100. That will be a devastating blow for England.
More from Jason Gillespie and Darren Lehman in just a moment. That was Jonathan Agnew, of course, on the BBC. Ben Stokes, the captain of England, at the presentation with Aisha Gua.
Ben, I imagine there's a lot going through your mind right now. Can you just make sense of what's just happened?
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit shell-shocked there. I think that innings from Travis Head was pretty phenomenal. just, yeah, as you say, it's quite raw, quite fresh at the moment, but geez, that was some knock.
At the same time, you were 99 ahead, one wicket down at lunch. So does that feel quite deflating?
Oh, look, I guess you look at the way that the game, you know, eked out. It seems the guys who seem to have success out there with the bat in hand were the guys who seem to be really brave and take the game on. I guess if we were to be look back on that, it's almost on wickets like this, you know, never think you've got enough. If you find yourself in a position where you're the guy who's managed to get in, try and give yourself the best chance of going on. But look, as you've seen, anyone who tried to sort of stay around there and try and occupy the crease with a lot of time didn't really seem to have too much success. But yeah, look, that knock from Travis has knocked the wind out of us there.
Well, you see the way he plays, you lost 9 for 100 in that second session. Do you have to question the application?
No, I guess, you know, as I said before, you know, the guys who found success out on that wicket were the ones who looked to take the bowlers on and put their best ball under pressure. There certainly was a lot of assistance there when the bowlers put the ball in the right area. And the guys who, you know, were able to be brave enough to knock the bowlers off the lengths were the ones who seemed to find success on that.
When it comes to Travis Head, obviously you went with a clear plan to him. In hindsight, would you have gone with that plan again?
Well, I think we tried three or four different plans at him, and you know, when he was going like a train, those plans can change quite quickly because, you know, those runs were coming down quickly. And yeah, when he's going like that, I've seen Travis play a lot of knocks like that, whether it be in Test cricket or in white ball cricket, and he's very hard to stop.
Some positives for you. Yesterday we saw the fast bowlers coming in hot and that they were bowling with some real aggression. So that must give you some confidence going into the next test.
Yeah, definitely. The way in which we bowled yesterday was simply phenomenal. You know, we had, you know, a lot happened on day one. It was at 19 wickets fell. So yeah, it was a good day for the bowlers. And obviously, look, this is a very tough one to get the series going when, you know, we felt we were in control of the game and we were coming out there to bowl in that fourth innings. Look, we've got four more games here. We'll obviously let this sink in. It obviously hurts extremely. But then we've got to, you know, get our head rounds and move on to Brisbane and then hit the ground running there.
I imagine you want Brisbane to come a bit quicker. You've got a bit of time off now to really think about what happened here.
Yeah, we do. We've got, you know, a long time before that game starts, and you know, we'll be working hard going away and, you know, putting all the hard graft that we always do into to get into Brisbane and coming away with the result we want there.
Thanks, Ben, and all the best in that next test.
Thank you. Cheers.
Ben Stokes at the presentation. This is Grandstand at Stumps on ABC Sport. The test is over. The Aussies have won by 8 wickets. An incredible turn of events after the lunch break and a test match we've never seen before. This great old game keeps delivering. Corbin Middlemass alongside Jason Gillespie and Darren Lehman. You guys are both successful, world-renowned coaches. Brendan McCullum is the eternal optimist. The whole baseball philosophy about leaning into the positive and the fear of failure. Even for him, surely this is going to be a task to try and get this group up in a dozen days' time.
It's going to be a tester for him, that one, because the positive is you can't. I'm positive they can't bowl that bad again. Here's the positive for him, because they bowled badly this afternoon, and Travis Head didn't allow him to bowl well, but they went away from just the normal stuff you do in a game of cricket, the top of off, hitting through to the keeper, making him drive, do the normal stuff quite well. They had everyone on the fence at one stage. I mean, it was just so absurd the way they went about it.
Were the plans created by the coach and captain, or were the bowlers doing that? That would be the question I'd like answered.
I think Stokes is quite a strong captain and he would have liked to go with those plans. I'm sure they'll sit back and go, because they want to talk positive all the time. You know, they'll come up with some different plans. I'm positive about that. There you go. There's a positive talk. and he'll work through that, Baz. They won't dwell too much. They move pretty quickly. That's the problem sometimes. You move on too quickly and you gloss over things, little details that you need to be really good at an international side, that actually Marnus Labuschagne and Travis Head stated in their press conference with us before, that they actually got the little things right, got the fields right, got the lines right, got the lengths right, the fields right, chopped and changed, moved through plans quite smoothly. Theirs was one plan to another plan, and that was it.
They'll need to lean into that optimism, because it feels like if this was any other touring English team, you'd be thinking that has a morale-destroying effect on a group, that you would be thinking, gee, this is going to be a tall task to lose from such a winnable position so quickly.
Yeah, no doubt. And what I heard there in that press conference is some excuses, actually. And, you know, I think that the way Stokes talked about, the only players that scored runs out there were the ones that took the game on. I reckon players would have scored runs out there if they left the ball at times, not try to have, when there's six men on the fence, try and play hook shots in the air and think they're not going to get out. You're allowed to leave the ball. You're allowed to duck a ball every now and again. You know, you want to play fearless as opposed to reckless. And I think with some of the England batting, there was recklessness there.
That's a fair sum up. I reckon that's about right. You know, they're better players than that too.
Correct.
They are very good players when they're up and running, England. And when they get in front, they can really crush you. And they probably didn't take their opportunities this test match, but they can play. They've probably just got to refine it a little bit.
Travis Head with 123. It was a 69-ball ton as Australia chased down 205 in the final session on day two. And the test is over. The Aussies win by 8 wickets. A dozen days away from the second test at the Gabba. It's a fair bit of time. There is another tour game for the England Lions. They're still involved in one against the CA 11. They will play the Prime Minister's 11 next weekend in the nation's capital. First two-day test in an Ashes test since 1890. So 1890, the last time we had a two-day Ashes test.
Not great for the coffers of Cricket Australia, to be fair. No. All the people that missed out on so much cricket here in Perth. I mean, you would have liked it to go 3 days. That was on the back end of, you know, both teams not batting so well yesterday, both teams bowling really well, catching well, and then Travis Head exploding away this afternoon, because it would have gone to 2.5 days. But really, I think that wicket was a 3.5 day wicket, 4 day wicket, so that's a little bit disappointing for the fans and everyone alike.
So the Cricket Australia coffers is a very fair and reasonable point to make at this time, given the fact that they had an $11.3 million loss last year, and it was very much explained away, and even we spoke to Mike Baird, the chairman of Cricket Australia, at lunch yesterday, that, you know, hey, we didn't really have the white ball program as part of that financial year. This year we're going to have 7 white ball games against India and the Ashes series, and a lot of the way that Cricket Australia's finances work is on a sort of 4-year rotation with the schedule, and they make a whole lot of money in summers like this, and it sustains them in the other summers. So to have where, say, a lesser drawing nation comes and there's not quite the financial burn for Cricket Australia as a result, but a two-day test, it means they're going to have to refund not just day three but day four tickets. So they will be refunded, given the fact there's no product that's put on. That also includes all your commercial support, there's corporate suites, and there's plenty of those here in a 60,000-seat stadium. The attendance today, 49,983, so over 100,000 in across the 2 days of the test, and that still breaks an attendance record, not just for Perth Stadium, but also for the state of Western Australia. One of WA's favourite sons, Tom Moody's here. I'll just get a last word from Tom before we wrap up. Moods, just sum it all up for us in a nutshell. What are we witness here?
Well, we're witnessing the start of what's going to be a remarkable summer. Simple as that. We knew the build-up for this whole series was going to be, it's going to be quite spectacular. We came in as Australian supporters and, you know, very apprehensive to how our chances were going to be because of the loss of Hazelwood and Cummins. You know, we thought the spine of our attack was gone. We were unsure about our top order, but there's a lot more certainty in the last 3 hours than there was leading up to that. So it's amazing how quickly sentiment can change. You know, Travis Head has just shown, you know, what's possible, and in the wake of that extraordinary innings, we've also seen the nurturing of bringing a couple of other players back into form. You know, Manus Labuschagne's been in extraordinary form in domestic cricket. He's produced that out in the middle now, so that's going to be a big factor going forward into the series. Weatherall's also had a nice little time out in the middle. Okay, it's not a significant score, but I think it's galvanised some, I suppose, belief within an Australian side, even though it's been a shambles, our whole prep. We can't ignore that. We've got out of jail, as simple as that. And it's been uncertain about a lot of things around batting orders and everything else. But we've got away with one. we've threw a brilliant innings and we can move forward positively going into Brisbane.
So what needs addressing before Brisbane, and what do you sweep aside? How much of it is, you know, wallpapering over the cracks, and how much of it is, hey, this is real, we got proper evidence that this is what it looks like?
I think Australia have got to make a hard call at the top of the order, as simple as that. Whether it's Travis Head or someone else, I think it's clear they've got to make a hard call there. You could argue that should have been done potentially before the start of the series. I think they also need to really consider this brand of cricket that's being played. Does Nathan Lyon fit into a day-night fixture at the Gabba? Are they better off playing Webster instead of Nathan Lyon? That gives them more depth to their batting. It gives them another bowling option, and Webster would be quite handy in the day-night fixture, the way he bowls, little mediums that nip the ball around. Takes a little bit of pressure off the bowling attack with regards to the volume of overs. So it's a bit of a win-win there. It's a tough call on Lyon. You're talking about a test match player that's got over 500 test wickets, but it's a horses for courses situation. Australia's had the appetite to do that previously, so I can see that being very much on the radar, and that'd be a smart call.
Is that what you would do?
Yes, definitely.
Yep. Moods, we love your insights as always. Thanks for being with us right throughout the test.
Pleasure.
The great Tom Moody. Thanks, WA's one of their favourite sons with us on ABC Sport. Final word from you, Diz and Boof, before we wrap up here at Perth Stadium. What will be your lasting memory of this test match? When you look back on it in 10 years' time and someone says, remember that Ashes test in Perth? What will you tell them?
Travis Head. Simple. Best, one of the best hundreds you'll ever see. And 50,000 people loved it. I mean, even the Barmy Army, they were clapping it off. It was great to see all the English players. Give them some credit. They were running off to actually cheer him off. Well, not cheer him off, but clap him off and give him a handshake.
Show the respect.
Show the respect. It was fantastic from the England cricket team. So well done, Ben Stokes, and that. Yep. It was entertaining 2 days, full on. Can't fault any of it from a spectacle point of view.
Yeah.
The wicket looked good, played better than it should have. You know, it certainly was better than the 2 day test match we received. But we had some great memories. In 10 years' time, I'll remember how many cold beers I had watching that 100.
And you didn't have any?
No, I mean now.
Now. Yes. Well, after the 100.
After the 100.
Watching it for the second time.
Yeah. I'll certainly remember Travis Head. Also, Brendan Doggett's debut, having two Indigenous Australians playing in an Australian 11. That's certainly something I'll remember. But, yeah, Travis Head for me. Mitchell Starc, 10 for 2.
Feels like Pat Cummins is going to be ready in Brisbane. We spoke to him last night. So still 12 days away from now. He's already bowling full steam in the nets. We've seen him batting. Means the Aussies need to create at least one spot in the lineup if the captain returns. The obvious question, who's the unlucky man?
I think they'll go. The history says they'll probably not play Doggett and play Boland on the way he bowled today.
Yep.
They'll give him another chance in Brisbane, and day night might nip around. So I think they'll go Cummins out, Doggett out.
Would Michael Neeser come into consideration for Brisbane?
They also might do that if he's not quite right. They might play Neeser and give him some extra batting options, but they also might play Webster and not Lyon.
Right.
There's all those options in play. I think the first thing they'll want to worry about is how Usman pulls out and what we do there. That'll be the first port of call.
Well, I agree with Tom Moody, actually. I think there's a hard decision to be made at the top of the order, and there's a chance that could be made before Brisbane.
Ooh. It's going to be a big 12 days on that front, despite the fact the Aussies win inside 2 days by 8 wickets in an extraordinary test match. So England won the toss, batted first, didn't even bat out 33 overs, all out 172, and yet led the test match by 40 runs on the first innings. The Aussies all out early on the second day for 132. England cruising at the lunch break, up by almost 100, 1 wicket down, and then lost their last 9 for 99. So in the end, all out 164. It set Australia a chase of 205 to win the test. They did it in just over 28 overs, 2 down to win in a session, effectively, and inside 2 days. 123 for Travis Head. It included a spectacular 100 off just 69 balls. This has been Grandstand Cricket on ABC Sport. Thanks heaps to both of you two gentlemen. Thanks, Thank Boof. You.
Thanks, great man.
Thanks, Dizzy.
Thanks, Corby.
The good thing is, it's not the last we've heard of you this weekend on ABC Sport, because Summer Grandstand's on tomorrow from 12 noon Australian Eastern Daylight Time, and we'll have contributions from our two great South Australians as part of that. out. Thanks to Phil Tufnell for his work, and of course to Tom Moody, who we've mentioned, to the voice of summer, Jim Maxwell. Great to have him back for a 50-second summer. To Jonathan Agnew from the BBC, and to Alison Mitchell. To Rick Finlay on the stats, to Damien Peck on socials, and our entire team in that department. To Ben Cameron, our EP, for all his hard work, and Mitch Turner, who's worked alongside him throughout. To Sadi, our tech, and for Dennis for stopping by on day one. To Jules back in the studio, and the cult figure Adam Jones, and everybody involved in putting Grandstand Cricket to air. We're back for another test summer. It lasts just 2 days, and Australia victorious in a test we won't soon forget on the back of a Travis Head 100.